This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show the love for pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, pillowcases, phone cases, and all the sorted garbage with our logos on it. And of course, you head to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where we do a bunch of streams. We're also affiliated, so you can give us them follows and bits and stuff if you are so inclined.
Almost our new permanent home.
So as we mentioned in the last episode, we, thanks to Ubisoft, we got nicely fucked.
Not just us, though.
No, it wasn't just
thousands
us. Thousands of YouTubers got straight up fucked. And there were so many of
them. Even big ones.
Even big ones.
Yeah.
So many of them were like, you understand that I stream on YouTube as my business. And you've now prevented me working for the next 3 months.
Which is fucked in itself. That system is messed up.
Like, the rules are very clear. It's like, if your live stream gets a worldwide block, bam.
But you don't know what's going to get worldwide blocked.
No, you don't.
Like, you have no idea.
Yep.
And out of all the things that were live streamed over E3, some shit from the Ubisoft conference.
Yeah, even the Just Dance section, which I thought would probably trigger. It was something like 50 minutes deep into our presentation.
I wish you saved the video so you could actually see what it was.
Yeah, well, because I was under the impression that, you know, the way it says, like, if the video is there, it will continue to be blocked. So I deleted it, thinking it would get rid of it would fix the problem, but it didn't. Mm. But then it turns out the bitching on Twitter totally works, because my tweet made it into a Polygon article. Yeah.
I think it was wholly probably unintended on Ubisoft's side.
No, I don't think it was. Because by the looks of it, they were like, we kind of, that was, didn't meant to, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, maybe they put it in place but didn't realise it would affect that many, but I don't know. They kind of knowingly
I think they intended the copyright.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's copyright music. Hank, can you hold still for a sec? This has been annoying me for like 2 hours, thank you. Not 2 hours, however long you've been here. Oh, stop that.
It's my style.
So I think they would have intended the copyright, but not the block.
Yeah.
So they're like, we'll take the monetization or whatever, but they won't. I didn't think they intended to fuck everyone. And what's really, really weird, it's obviously not auto-detected, because I know there's a couple other channels that I follow that streamed it and they didn't get hit. Mm. Like, they can still, like, you can, because, like, you know, with the blocked worldwide, you got to click on it, it's like, this video is blocked worldwide. And I have other channels, I'm like, nope, there it is. There's the exact moment. I know the approximate location. And it, should probably shut that door, because as in James kicked that door in last week. So they're the exact moment of when it should have been struck, and they weren't, so targeted.
Oh well,
we saw it. They saw it as a real threat. Maybe
it's all old news.
But yeah, no, we're back.
They can't hold us down.
The man.
We'll reach for the scat.
We'll probably stream here occasionally on the Wednesdays, but I think we will. We've been moving towards Twitch for streaming anyway.
It is. Overall, a better platform for it.
But it's just that if we don't do anything on YouTube, the only thing that goes up is For the Players, and we need to do some other stuff on here.
Yeah.
But anyways, how has your E3 week been?
E3 was a thing.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, we talk prior as well, because last week, you know, with the episode that just went up, we only talked about E3. So what have you done since before that? Like, what have you played? What have you been doing?
I mean, you know,
you cancelled your WoW subscription.
Yeah, I did, because I was just wasting time on it. I was playing it for the sake of playing it, so I'm like, character's ready for the expansion. I have no reason to be playing this game right now. There's still a month left on it, because the day after I cancelled it, it auto renewed. But I haven't played it for like 2 weeks now. E3, the trailer for the Destiny expansion, I was like, okay, you've got my interest back. Went on the PlayStation Store. I saw that you can get the double DLC pack for the two that have just come out, for half price. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool, all right, no worries. So I've been playing Destiny 2 again. They've added a lot of good things. You know, the game seems to be flowing a fair bit more. The story stuff they added was pretty cool. I wouldn't have called them expansions. More like, you know, DLC. You know, the term is like, you know, real muddled between DLC and expansions. But the Forsaken one is the one that's coming is an expansion. I mean, there's a whole lot of new content, two new areas, you know, new game modes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whereas these were more like, here's a couple more story missions. And, you know, if I paid full price, for them, I would have been a bit meh, but I didn't. So, you know, whatever. But Hollow Knight.
Yeah, I picked up on the Switch.
Mwah!
Yeah.
Wow, too. That game is amazing. I've played it. Okay. The first hour or so, I was like...
So we should mention, made by...
Team Cherry,
which is a lovely Australian developer. Mm-hmm. We met a couple of years ago at PAX. We went to their booth and we played it.
PAX, I think. Played like early alpha or something.
Super early.
For the first hour, I was like, it's okay. You know, it's cool. But I'm probably 3 or 4 hours in now, and I kind of hit a point where I beat the first boss, and a couple other things happen. I'm like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah,
like, now I understand all the big hype and stuff like that. And just a lot of cool design decisions in it because, you know, you don't start with a map. You can buy the map eventually. And then, but the map doesn't update as you explore. You do your exploring, go back to town, rest on a bench, and you pull your map out and quickly scribble all the extra rooms in you found. I thought that was a nice little touch.
So you have to get out to
Yeah, you got to kind of get back out to update your map. But then it's different maps for different areas and all that. And I like how the story isn't presented just as tons of text dialogue. It does it very Dark Souls-y, where it's take the tidbits you can and kind of piece the story together yourself. You kind of interpret what's happened here and why this is happening and all that kind of stuff. Instead of just being like, there's a bad guy and you need to go and end his evilness. But yeah, just a lot of cool ideas. And then, you know, certain areas are blocked off until you get certain items. You can kind of get the items whenever you want because you buy the items from the shop. So you're like, well, I want to go to this area. Area I stumbled across was pitch black. You can't see anything. Then you go to the shop and you can buy a lantern. But instead of that, I could go to the other side of the map and buy this item and I could go that way instead. Mm. Very, very cool. And the combat's like fucking crisp. Like crispy crisp. Like KFC chip crisps.
Ooh.
Well, they're not actually crisp. Oh, that was a bad analogy.
No, no.
Like the very last of the McDonald's fries, like in the shoe. Mm. Like just real crunchy.
The leftovers in the fish and chip pack.
Yeah. The shit chips. But they're crispy.
I love those crispy chips.
There's no potato. It's just like mounds of batter.
Yeah, this is what's so good.
Anyway, Hollow Knight's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised at the price.
Because $17 on the Switch?
Yeah. $17.50. The Switch is real touch and go with indie game pricing. There's a game called that I've wanted for a while called Crypt of the Necrodancer. You can get it for $3 on Steam, and it's $29.95 on the Switch.
The Binding of Isaac. I paid $4 on Steam.
Yep.
$79.95 on the Switch.
Yeah. So I was expecting it to be $30, and to see it at the same price as Stardew as well was amazing.
Mm.
Well, I'm like 3 hours in. I don't know how long the game's going to go for, but I feel like I've already got my money's worth just from the visuals and, you know, the feelings that you get playing it and all that. I've got my dollar's worth already. But I'm determined. I don't know what it is about this game, but I'm determined not to Google a thing. Like, I feel like I'm going to do this myself. And I've been stuck a couple times where I'm like, I almost cracked. I'm like, I just need to find out how to get past this. But nah, step back, come back to it, and you go, oh, of course, so simple. So I'm really determined to complete this game without any assistance.
Very nice.
What about you?
I just going to put it out there. I have that God of War Platinum. It is my second Platinum ever, but my first legitimate Platinum. My first one being Job Simulator. And you get that from just playing it. This is the first one that
like
I've
Telltale.
Actually... Telltale. Yeah, it's the first one I've actually gone and hunted for.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Feels real good. Mm. Like it feels like I've done a service to the game.
Mute.
Feels like I've done a service to the game. Feels like I've earned my keep with it.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to get the Platinum to be like, I have finished this game. Yeah. Not just I've finished the story. Like, I've ticked every box there is to tick with this.
So. I don't think I'll get many other Platinums this year, if at all. But like that game deserved so much of my time that I had to see it through.
It's strange to hear, you know, every few days you'd be like, tick, and because I honestly expected you just to move on like you always do.
Yeah.
So that's good. Well done.
No, it was good. Like, it was the one thing that gave me the most time was obviously the Ravens were pretty shit. I did have to use a guide for some of them.
I used a guide for the last couple
of years. Yeah, because as I was running through, because I would pretty much just sweep my way through. So I was like, went back and just kind of slowly inch my way through every environment, every area. Mm-hmm. And then like, at the end, I'm like, I'm missing like 5 Niflheim. This is fucked. And then I'm like, retrace my steps using a guide. I'm like, all right, fine.
Done. Yeah.
Valkyrie Queen took me about...
Sorry, props on the guides though. They were up on YouTube like 2 days after the game came out.
Yeah, I know there are some like PSN trophies, which like I know they got a code, got a copy from PlayStation. I think they know what they do. So here's a copy, get it out. Have these drop it.
Get the guides ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that like IGN obviously get a lot of their copies early as well, so they can do their guides. But yeah, no, the one thing that gave me the most time was the Valkyrie Queen. I think about 50 tries, easy.
Really?
Then, yeah.
It's so weird because I spent, like we've talked about before, the Muspelheim one just kicked my ass for hours and hours, and you one-shot it.
I did it in one go, easy. Yeah.
I one-shot the Queen, but she gave you a lot of trouble.
Gave me a ton of trouble, and then it was one of those things. I'm like, fuck this. Maybe I won't ever get this. Maybe I won't get it. Put it down. Go to bed. Next morning, I'm like, I'm gonna give this a go. Came in here, sat down, one go.
I feel like I kind of somehow brute forced it. Like I feel like I killed her quicker than I maybe should have at the time. Did you use the... There's an amulet that slows down time.
No.
Oh. Because... And then you upgrade, it slows down time even longer. It's like the dimensional rift thing. I think it was in a trailer where it's like everything's slow motion except for you. And I could take off like probably a good quarter of her health in that slow mo, and she couldn't. She's like, and I'm like, I think that's what really helped me. That amulet.
Yeah, I think what ended up getting me, because I said, because she's just
relentless,
right? So there's that urge to want to just keep moving forward yourself and be like, fuck, and that's what kind of had to happen. So like at the end, I had to sort of be like, all right. You know, use a lot of Atreus to sort of stun her, bring her down, and then go in with those power, with those runic attacks. And like, obviously, a lot of the blades, because for some reason I'd upgraded everything at that point, obviously to get platinum. But like, I'd put a ton into the blades, obviously because they're a big sweeping off health offer. So I'm like, all right, push
back. And the range too.
Yeah, and the nice range. So like, okay, cool, and bang, and then get in there and do that, and that would take a good hunk off, and then it would just be blocking and you know, stunning her and bringing her down.
Just take a step back. It's not just this thing must die. It's like I need to. There's no time limit. I just need to take my time, pick my shots.
Which is completely different to how old God of War played. That's just relentless. It's all about you getting in there and just fucking things up fast.
Yeah. Did you have the resurrection stones as well?
Yeah, I did. Of course. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah,
kind of.
I think she was pretty close to death, but I was pretty close as well. So I let myself die, knowing I'd come back with full rage from the maximum stone.
I went the health option
because when you're in fury doing whatever, you gain health anyway. Yeah. So come back with full rage, went bah, and killed her during that like final burst. But it was really down to like, if she doesn't die in this fury thing, I'm out. I'm done. But yeah, it's good.
That was really good. What else I've been playing? I said I've just streamed a lot, mostly with obviously the E3 panels. Prior to the Nintendo one, I streamed Fallout Shelter and Fallout 4 for a couple of hours. Fallout Shelter is fun.
On Twitch, obviously.
Yeah, on Twitch.
Because I don't get... I'll have to set up notifications and stuff. The Twitch mobile app is fucking garbage.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Absolute garbage. So I very rarely go to it. But our community member Chris was streaming last night, so I downloaded the app. Reset my password because I've got my password and all logged into that, but it's just like buffering all the fucking time.
So what I do is I have notifications set up, so then it goes bing, hey, person is streaming. I'm like, okay, cool, and then I'll move to my computer.
Okay, I was in bed at that point, but yeah.
Oh, when Chris started, I was already asleep. Yeah. I got up to the next morning going, hey, I'm live. I'm like, fuck. But yeah, so we played Fallout Shelter and we sort of made our own. A little story about the people that are in there and what they were doing. And
I did jump into Fallout 4 as well.
Yeah, and then so we played that for about an hour because it is a mobile game.
West Virginia! I'm so hyped for Fallout 76. No idea.
So it is a mobile game, so it does have a lot of those not time-wasting, but time-reliant shit.
Yeah.
So I played until I could I think you may have woken up James with your West Virginia singing.
Well, I mean, there's worse ways to be woken up.
True. So I played until like, it was pretty much like just wait out time. I'm like, all right, this bounce is coming Fallout 4. Started again. Man, like I remember that, I remember the one of the big shit points on that was like, it looks like it's fucking Fallout 3. Like, no, I played Fallout 3 recently.
Fallout 4 looks great.
Fallout 4 looks so much better than people remember.
Something, a tidbit from Todd Howard as well, just in regards to Fallout and the engines and all that. He did say pretty recently that they're going to have one more game on the current engine and then everything else from there.
So Starfield and Elder Scrolls
is on a new engine. So you'd presume Fallout 76 is that last game on the engine and then we get the new engine.
Would explain why Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 were, as you referred to them, next gen.
Yeah, because it'd be on some fucking insane engine.
Yeah.
And at the time their engines come out, they are like top of the line as well. Because how long has their current engine lasted them for?
Morrowind and Oblivion.
20 years or 15 years, yeah, maybe? Minimum. That's insane. Because at the time when that engine came out, that was like, holy shit. So I'm excited for that. Just another little Bethesda tidbit, because I'm all up in Bethesda's bumhole at the moment.
Oh, same. Yeah. Same. Sorry, I'm just organizing D&D with Paris.
We're going to play D&D for the first time. We're going to make our characters after this.
Yeah. And then probably play probably in the next couple of weeks.
Short, bald, bearded, fat bar. Yeah,
my imagination isn't really that good. I'm like, looks like me.
But it's going to be blue? Giving me, but I'll probably be like a bard or something.
Yeah. Which is, you're a musician anyway, so it kind of works.
Oh, a musician.
Well, you can play music.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I went and jumped in Fallout 4. Shit's good. I kind of got that hook right in.
Yeah, I did.
For me, because I
played it for probably about 3 hours and I was like,
did you start fresh?
I did start fresh.
Yeah, because I did the same thing. I was like, I pulled up the game. I'm like, where the fuck am I? When did I get that gun?
I didn't even do that. I don't know. The idea of getting into it was really cool, but once I got into it, I was like, I just don't really want to do this big grind at the moment. But you know, I still got a little taste of it.
Yeah, I still think you should jump into Rainbow Six Siege with us, because I think that'd be good chats.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it's been pretty, I've got, you know,
I feel obliged. You're like, I bought you this game,
motherfucker.
Now you have to play.
That's why I did it.
I'm like, oh, goddamn.
And then I've got Unravel 2, which was announced day, you know, like one of those shadow drops, as they're officially called, which I like as a name. Yeah, so we'll probably play that at some point with some co-op action. We'll get some twitching.
Get all sad.
Yeah, and then just cry together and hug it out.
First one did make me cry quite a few times, actually.
Good game.
No dialogue, just music and setting. Just,
an atmosphere.
Yeah, and just the pieces of the story you see from like the photo frames, like going through this lady's house and seeing like a family and then seeing like the fireflies make the family. It was good. It was real.
Damn good. Mm. I remember playing that at PAX.
Didn't get the attention I think it should have. It's like a cult kind of hit. Yeah. It's not mainstream. I think it should be up there. Is it on the Switch?
No.
That'd be cool.
Because Unravel 2...
Pretty much any game. Is it on the Switch? No. Well, it should be, because that'd be... that'd be next level.
Speaking of Fallout 4, I kind of wish they... I'm bummed that they didn't announce coming to the Switch. Or even Fallout 3. That just seems like a good game. Because, like, my wife's playing Skyrim again now. Mm. Now they've got the new PS4. So, like, I was playing it on the Switch, and while she was playing on the PS4, I'm like, man, fuck, Skyrim's good shit.
It is good shit.
It is like crack, but it's good shit.
It's fine.
Anyways, that's enough of what we've been playing for a good old like 20-something minutes. And now we can jump into the what news that happened. So this is the news that didn't happen during E3. And it's in a section we call Inform the Players.
Some of it's
time. I was trying to explain the fact that, hey, not much news. E3 was the news.
E3 was the majority of the news, but there are a couple of things not related and maybe a little bit related. Number one, The Last of Us has sold over 17 million copies since it was first released in 2013. Naughty Dog announced a landmark sales figure, which is current as of April, on Twitter in celebration of the game's 5th anniversary. Last of Us originally came out in June 14, 2013 for PS3 and was ported to PS4 in 2014. Naughty Dog basically tweeted saying thank you guys so much. 17 million for a single game is fucking awesome.
That does go over two generations though, with PS3
and PS4.
Yeah,
but it came out right at the tail end as well. But a lot of people would have double bought it. I know I did. I had it on PS3 and I bought it on PS4. Yeah, you still fucking finished it. Every time I talk about this game, I need to bring it up.
I think that'll be my next one.
Platinum.
Oh, no platinum, because it's multiplayer.
Apparently it's one of the hardest platinums. Yeah. on period.
Yeah,
on
I have no interest in doing the
mod. Not only that, but I think you need to finish it on like max difficulty and stuff like that as well. And it's hard enough.
Fuck that noise.
But yeah, Naughty Dog just continued to kill it with all these milestones. I think they had another one with Uncharted, the series, earlier this year.
Some huge. Yeah. Well, apart from 10 years, which was PSX in December, I think the big old numbers.
But yeah, they continue to kill it. The developer of the Batman Arkham series of games, Rocksteady, has made a statement addressing its absence from E3 this year. We did have one of us had as our
prediction. I had my prediction that it would be, that would be at the PlayStation show and they would have a DC property.
Mm. Game director and co-founder of Rocksteady Studios, Sefton Hill, posted a message on Twitter acknowledging the disappointment from the fans. In his tweet, Hill says the message he put out, which thanks fans for their enthusiasm towards the next project and promises to reveal it when it's ready, is from the entire Rocksteady team. Fan disappointment likely comes from the rumours around Rocksteady developing a Superman or Justice League game, which, after very critical success of the most recent Arkham Knight, would at very least promise to be better than Superman 64.
See, although I wasn't invested, I was like, yeah, I'd like to see this. So, you know, we're kind of funny fans. Greg Miller, super invested. Like every conference, he's like, this is where it is. This is where it is. And you see his disappointment, just...
I don't know. I think that might be surface level disappointment, but I think he knows. He knows everything. He's so balls deep in the industry and the people in the studios that... But it's because everyone knows they can trust him not to leak. He's never leaked a thing in his life.
Well, for example, with Spider-Man, they knew that it wasn't going to be... who did everyone think it was going? Sucker Punch. He knew it was Insomniac, but that's why they never predicted it. Like him and Colin, when they did their predictions
for that, and for whenever they're always very, read around our predictions as well, you know? I'm glad that they are... You know, they've had a lot of time since Arkham Knight, and I'm glad they're...
2 years?
I'm glad that they're not so eager to be like, yeah, look, we're doing something. It's like, no, we'll do it when it's ready. Which is getting a common theme now at the moment because, you know, CDPR are doing the same thing with Cyberpunk, which we'll talk about
later. Like, I'm still curious on where this Arkham Insurgency that we heard about probably a year ago now, which was said to be done by WB Games.
Mm.
I kind of do want to know whatever happened to that. But I do, something I kind of, because I have such a bad taste in my mouth for Arkham Origins. I guarantee it's not that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I guarantee it's not that
fine.
Bad.
It was fine. Not great. Not at the level of the other two, but it was good enough, I think. Soul Calibur has a release date, which I misspelled Soul Calibre.
Soul Calibre.
Like Nacho Libre is a playable character. Will be released on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 19th.
Woo!
October's stacked.
October's fucked.
Like, why? I don't understand why I put it there.
Just like February, fucked.
Mm-hmm. Gonna have to be very picky with what we pick up during that time period.
Or we're gonna have to spread it.
So what is it? Soul Calibur, Gwent makes its big return, Red Dead, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider September.
Assassin's Creed.
October.
Call of Duty.
October.
Battlefield.
November.
Still, it's within like 4 weeks of each other.
Yeah, September to November is going to be dick.
And Red Dead could just be the only game you play for that whole period of time.
Yeah. I'm having a look now at this. Because now that we've got E3, there's a bunch of release dates. Like, we can actually play on the rest of the year now, which is good. Because everyone's been really kind of cards close to their chest at this point with their release dates.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's in October as well. He's September.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah. That's another game you could play for like a month. It appears Netflix is partnering with Telltale Games for an interactive game based off Stranger Things. Though TechRadar initially indicated that the potential Stranger Things game would be coming to the streaming service, Netflix issued a response declaring that it would be a more traditional Telltale series on standard gaming platforms. That's not the only thing coming as part of the collaboration. Netflix will indeed offer Telltale's Minecraft story mode on the streaming service. Netflix has dabbled in interactive experiences before, including Puss in Book, Trapped in an Epic Tale. that could go a couple of ways. And Buddy Thunderstruck, The Maybe Pile, which will both choose your own stories for younger viewers. And you're going to like control with your remote and stuff. It's weird.
It's in the Netflix app.
In the Netflix app. You just need to put your phone away when we're doing this show.
I'm trying to organise things for people. I probably should have done it before.
So in the Netflix streaming app, so whether you get to play it without paying for it because it's on the Netflix app because you're already paying for it. I don't know. It's weird. It's just like really weird. I can't quite wrap my head around it. I mean, the games don't require a lot of input. Do you want to go left or right? You know, you're not really running around doing all your action.
Or dialogue
stuff.
Options.
Yeah,
and stuff,
or you
yeah.
know, one of your key buttons for choosing your dialogue. But it could be really cool just to kind of introduce a lot of people to this style of game. You know, I can picture, especially Stranger Things as well. I wish they wouldn't, but they are. So, you know, I like Stranger Things as it is. And Telltale really haven't kind of been on their game.
Yeah, Telltale, you know, after they did have big layoffs recently and they did, you know, sort of have a restructure and readjustment as a company. So they haven't. Because I remember there was a while there where every month we'd hear about a new Telltale game, that you know, the new game they were working on, a new property.
Mm.
And they've kind of been quiet for a while. So I think this is probably heading in the right direction in that sense, as in they're
other
not...
Other than the... I think that they've obviously continued with The Walking Dead, which is about to finish up, I think.
Yeah.
It's not far off it.
So other than that...
Yeah, I don't think anything else is running at the moment. But when you have to think, like... What else are they doing? Because they've got so much going. That's a problem in itself. You shouldn't have to be like, oh, they've got Guardians going and Game of Thrones going and Minecraft going, you know.
Because I think Batman's done and dusted now. They've done two seasons. I don't know whether they're doing a third.
Minecraft season two wrapped up earlier this year.
Yeah, we've got Walking Dead season four, which is the final one that's coming out soon.
It'll be interesting. Like, it's a new venture. I'm keen to see
I'm
how
very
it goes.
Intrigued.
Yeah.
That's probably a good way to put it. I try to limit my word, use the word interesting. It's an easy way out. Not having a slag at you.
You did. So.
No. You didn't use it 18 times in that one conversation, so you're fine.
Okay.
Other random.
The next interesting bit of news.
What?
I said interesting again.
Ah,
I was meant to like...
I was meant to...
Fuck you. A number of Fortnite players have expressed outrage following the revelation that the PS4 players won't be able to carry over their existing Epic Games account to the Switch. This is on top of no crossplay between the systems. Sony issued a response to the controversy in all its PR glory. Quote, "We're always open to hearing what the PlayStation community is interested in to enhance their gaming experience," reads the statement to BBC. "With more than 80 million monthly active users on the PlayStation Network, we've built a huge community of gamers who can play together on Fortnite and all online titles. We also offer Fortnite crossplay for PC, Mac, iOS, and Android, expanding the opportunity for Fortnite fans on PS4 to play with even more gamers on the other platforms." They pretty much just dodged everything. So, a lot of people are looking at this as a crossplay argument, but I don't think that's the crux of the issue. It's Sony pretty much holding hostage your third-party Epic Games account, which is more of the issue. If people could use their account on all the other platforms, I don't think crossplay would be really touched on at all. It's like, you're not giving us crossplay and you're keeping our accounts to yourself.
Because like, what I tried to do is, because I obviously have my personal account and I have the PopC account, right? I'm like, the PopC account has been used to play Fortnite before, like on the Xbox and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. I'll just use, I'll keep my, you know, so PS4 over there, done. Turns out I have apparently played the PopC one on the PS4, and it's like, meh, meh, that's balls.
I think we had a community night or something.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, I'm like, that's balls.
Yeah, if ever once your account's locked out. Nintendo of America president
Reggie Fils-Aimé
told IGN that allowing Fortnite crossplay on the Switch was a developer forward and fan forward move, but also added that what Sony does is their decision to make, which it is.
So Reggie, that is the most perfect answer.
Yeah, it is. He's so good at what he does.
Well, no, as in like, because you know, this is something that I, you know, we've had conversation about the crossplay and stuff in the past, and like you've got we've got quite heated debates.
Yeah.
Because like for me, I'm like, yeah, it's dick, but they are within their very own grounds. So they have, because I guarantee you, as I've said before, if it was the other way around and this was Microsoft, they would have done the exact same thing.
Probably. But like I said, this is... crossplay is one thing, but this whole account thing is a different issue entirely. And the blame's kind of being he said, she said at the moment. Epic are like... It's a Sony thing. Like, we can't do anything. And Sony haven't refuted that, but they also haven't obviously accepted that at the same time. Which, because no matter who says whose problem it is, accepting it, like you said to me last night, is accepting the responsibility for the issue.
Yeah. And then all the backlash that comes with it.
Now, and as Joel said in our chat, because we were chatting about this last night, he said, it might even be in the terms of agreement, like when you do it, and it very well might be, but that doesn't kind of take away from, it's pretty dicky.
Yeah.
Because it's a third party account. It's not a Sony account. All your Fortnite stuff that you unlock on the PlayStation is tied to your Epic Games account, which then you can take to PC or mobile. Obviously, you can't take it to the Switch or the Xbox, which is the big issue at the moment. And it's like, well, Sony, this account isn't your property. It's Epic Games' property, which makes it my property. Why are you able to dictate this?
See, for that reason alone, I think it has to be in the terms of agreement.
It very well might be. But another issue is, though, is that if you go to epicgames.com, you can unlink your account.
And you still, yeah.
If you unlink your account, you lose everything you've paid for and unlocked, gone into the wind, and you still can't use that account. So it's like, well, why am I even unlinking it for if I can't keep it, you know? And it, like I said, unlinking it and losing everything, that's an Epic Games thing. But you still can't use the account on the other platforms. And it, like I said last night, it's very rare that Sony is in the news for bad PR these days, especially at this level. And it's just weird seeing all this vitriol thrown at Sony.
And it's all to do with Crossplay and Fortnite.
Huh?
Every other bit of PR they've received in the last like 3 years has been good because it's not Fortnite.
Yeah. But like I said, yeah, Crossplay is the thing, but it's also, why are you keeping our stuff? Yeah. And it was the same thing, like, because Alex played Fortnite pretty heavily on the PS4, my son, but then he found out his buddy plays it a lot on the Xbox. So now Alex is playing on the Xbox. So Alex did spend about $60 of his own money on the microtransactions and getting skins and all that stuff, and now they're just sitting on the PlayStation unused because he had to make a new account to play with his buddy on the Xbox, and it just seems real backwards. It was the same thing with Rocket League, I think. I remember we did a news story a while ago that Rocket League Psyonix were bringing like their Psyonix account for crossplay. Have they done that yet?
Couldn't tell.
I don't think they have, but I imagine it'll be the same situation. Yeah, you sign into Rocket League, you sign into your Psyonix account, but you still can't take your stuff from PS4 over to everything else.
As I said, this isn't a crossplay issue because because the problem here is they're not going we're not against crossplay. Because you can still do it with PC and Apple. All we're saying is our crossplay doesn't work with our direct competitors.
Mm. And that's fine. That's your decision. But
like I said, yes. But the issue is, so that crossplay argument, done.
Mm.
Them holding the account is bonkers.
Yeah.
Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. They're willingly putting themselves in this really bad situation.
There has to be a reason. There has to be something somewhere that people have just avoided, or not looked at, or not seen. And because they can't, like, this is something, it's baffling that we haven't seen this earlier.
Mm. But even if it is in the terms of agreement, that sucks. Because
it has to be. It has to be. Mm. Because if it isn't, then this can be instantly fucked. Sony can be fucked over for this in a second. And they would have to step back on it if they didn't have some sort of grounds to hold it. You would like to think.
But anyway, I would imagine, like, in that respect, though, like, there can't be any engineering side of it. Because remember when Fortnite accidentally unlocked the crossplay?
Mm.
Accidentally, whatever. And people on PlayStation were playing with people with Xbox for a very brief period of time. So it's there. And obviously, whether that's just crossplay or your account stuff as well, I don't know. But I don't understand how, like, Nintendo of all people can make this happen, but Sony can't.
See, but this is capitalism, man. Like, this is the world that we live in. You know, they as a company have the right to do this. They don't have to appease. Have, like, every jerk that's every internet jerk that's like, man, we need fucking crossplay. No, I wasn't talking crossplay. This is not you. This is in general. I'm just fucking ranting the internet now. Like, they don't have to. No. There is nothing. Like, this isn't some sort of it's a free market, but because of that, people can put their own restrictions on shit as they want. Mm. And you, not you, metaphorical you, are, you know, that have chosen to use this service, you follow by their rules.
Yeah, but then also progression comes from questioning why things are.
Yes.
As well. So just because it is that way, it doesn't mean you have to like it. You can argue it till your face turns blue.
And you know the great thing about capitalism is, if you disagree with it, you can step away and use something else.
But that's what people are doing.
Yeah.
Like, for Sony, that's the thing. There's even this huge Reddit post.
See, this is the crossplay stuff. In terms of this account locking, they're preventing you from going elsewhere, which is bullshit. Like, think about, like, Think about it this way. It's exactly like iTunes and the Google Play Music Store, right? Both offer you the same product. You can't take your songs from iTunes to Google Play. Mm. No one has a problem with that because that's how the system works. And like, and not saying that that's a good or a bad thing, but it's the exact same thing. Kind of,
because iTunes and Google Play aren't sharing with anyone else either, where you do have this ecosystem with Nintendo and Xbox.
Yeah, which is only something that's happened ever so recently.
Oh, I know, I know.
And I do think, even this way, to make things a bit worse, right? The encoding that they use on the Apple iTunes store, it's not MP3.
Mm-hmm.
It's M4A or something. So it's almost proprietary. So you can't play it on other devices. That's worse than what's going on here. Mm. But no one has a problem with that vocally.
Mm.
I do think there is some entitlement. I don't use
Apple products.
Me too. I don't buy songs for that reason anymore. But like there is an entitlement with gamers and around this, you know, like, and I think that is a problem. It's a separate problem. Once again, cross-play, not cosplay. But with this agreement shit, this is ball. Sony, fix your shit, man.
Well, there's even the Fortnite subreddit.
Don't allow Xbox Xbox. Sorry, don't allow PlayStation to work with Xbox and Switch. That's fine. Just don't hold accounts for ransom. That's even dumb.
On the Fortnite subreddit, which is huge, by the way. It's one of the biggest subreddits there is. It's massive.
People are
buying their V-Bucks on PC so Sony don't get a cut of the money anymore as well. Still playing on PlayStation, but they're spending their microtransaction dollars on the PC for their account. So Sony are losing money from that now as well.
Free market. This is the point I'm making. If you have a problem with it, find ways around it.
And a lot of people have. And there are thousands of people doing this at the moment, which I think is pretty clever, really. It's just, I don't understand their thought process on this. They're willingly giving themselves all this bad press.
As I said, I imagine when this agreement came about, this would have been 18 months ago, 2 years ago.
About a year ago.
I'd say, it's a year ago since Fortnite launched.
Battle Royale's only been out for about 9 months.
Okay, well, so I imagine the agreement's not as simple as, hey, we're going to organize this agreement in 3 months. Like, I don't see that happening. I imagine that's a long conversation.
Maybe.
You know, and like, because Fortnite itself had multiplayer, like the actual Save the World, whatever the fuck it's called. Mm. That agreement would have been prior to that again.
Which is really good, by the way.
As I'm saying, like, I think a lot of these agreements were put in place or beginning prior to this sudden openness, right? So for that reason, I think they're within their grounds for the conversation they had at the start. Do they need to amend that agreement? Fuck yes, they do.
Yeah, agreements are one thing, but you also need to... Times change, you know?
Mm.
Slavery's still a thing? No?
Very different example.
It was okay. People are like, actually, it's not. And they're like, yeah, it's not.
Mm.
So that's not a thing anymore. It's a very, very dark example.
Yeah, not even close.
Anyway, crossplay, do whatever the fuck you want. Holding accounts, stop it.
Yes.
You even got prominent people in the industry going, Sony, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Greg Miller, like the biggest Sony advocate on the planet, did the tweet going, fix your shit. This is not cool.
Yeah.
Top selling games for week ending the 10th of June 2018. Starting at number 10, Uncharted 4. Number 9, FIFA 18. Number 8, Skyrim Remastered.
Hey!
Bethesda have really gotten people like... Number 7, Shadow of the Colossus. Number 6, Far Cry 5. Number 5, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition. Number 4, GT Sport. Number 3, Detroit Become Human. Number 2, Vampyr. And number 1, back up there, is God of War.
So a lot of these...
Detroit dropped very quickly.
Yeah, because a lot of these games are on the Days of Play sale, just available right now.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of cool games for going cheap.
Destiny expansions.
Yeah, there's a bunch of styles going on right now, which it was really interesting. So Dylan, who hasn't played a lot of games, messages us yesterday in Discord, be like, I just bought a ton of games. I'm like, Dylan, are you okay? Out of nowhere, he started playing a ton of games, and it's good to see. So, like, you know...
Would he like to come and talk about them at some point?
I'm like, do you want to come talk about games? So, like I said, there are a bunch of good sales on right now, by the way. Just go have a look around, you'll find something rad.
Yeah.
So, there's a Nintendo, got like 50% off up to on Switch. I don't know, probably a bunch of garbage. Xbox have got a bunch of stuff as well with their E3 sale. And
just one thing on the Switch. It is getting pretty loaded with bloatware.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way the Wii did. Like, there's just so much fucking garbage on there.
Oh, yeah.
like you go through the new releases and you're like, oh, that's okay. And then it's just like three pages of just what even is this? And that's because a lot of users who, a lot of devs have gone from Steam to the Switch because they found Switch a bit more friendly. I just think every time I go to the Switch store, I'm like, ugh. The interface is shit. And just looking at it, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I only go by... I
go by specific. I know what I want. I go to the store, I search it, I get the fuck out.
I'm never going to just drift through that store. I know exactly what I want to get and pick it up.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, you came for Smash?
Yeah, pretty keen.
Yeah, I've never played Smash. Like, I've played Smash, but I've never been like invested.
I haven't played since the 64.
And watching it, I'm like,
wow. It's come a long
way. Like, oh, 64 players. I'm like, wow. That's too many
because I'm 64, I think, had... maybe 16-ish. It just seems like they're really like reaching for just who else can we put
like
in?
I watched this that trailer one, and I'm like one. Who are half of you?
Yeah.
And like there's like a little boy with a hat and my wife's like, oh, Ness. I'm like, who the fuck is Ness?
Ness. Yeah, I didn't know Ness before 64 either. They put like Ridley in there who was Metroid. And yeah, there's like a comic strip and it's like, should we let Ridley in Smash? And they're like, oh, let's ask Samus. And she's like, he literally killed my parents. And he's like, that one time.
But the internet's, side note, internet's going nuts. No Waluigi.
He'll be in there.
He'll come in.
He'll definitely.
He'll come in.
Because they're all 64, like, and they've shown a few more, but there's not a chance he won't be in this game. I guarantee it. Someone did a video, you know, Master Hand from the games. They like panned it out.
And yeah,
like,
that's Waluigi's hand. Anyway, that's not PlayStation.
What? Oh, let's all play. So the main topic we're going to talk about is Cyberpunk, but before we do that, I just want to quickly revisit the Sony conference from E3. After we've had time to just chill out a little bit, you know, we did leave it pretty disappointed, but a couple of days to just sit, think about it. I think you rewatched it.
I did.
It'd be good just to chat about it again, because in hindsight, to me, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
As Joel pointed out to us in the chat, you know, Sony did come out a few weeks ago and be like, here's what you're going to get, to try to get their expectations down a little bit. We're focusing on the four big titles, which is exactly what they did. Got gameplay for all of them, really good, solid sections of gameplay. You pretty much know exactly how these games are going to be, except for Death Stranding. Even we've got gameplay for that too, which is like a walking sim so far with Norman Reedus. And the funky fetus.
And about 38 boxes. I think I've seen a lot of like Amazon, FedEx memes going on
like
with this.
Same day delivery with Norman Reedus.
Yeah, look, I'm in the same boat. Rewatching it, like that, the way that is laid out is just appalling. In the hour and a bit, you spent 20 of it. Well, not, I'm exaggerating there, about 15 minutes of it just waiting for them to move location to location. Like, I really loved that idea of that. Of that opening hall, which was going to what you, which was in the Last of Us trailer, right? And then when everyone's moving, I thought, fuck, if they're gonna have four key locations,
that would be horrible, amazing.
Like, granted, like
amazing, but horrible to watch.
Ideally, it would be better. We've got four locations, and you stay in that location. Everyone watches the same panel. Everyone watches the same video.
But then the auditorium would have been empty, which I don't think that would
have. What's the thing? They wouldn't have an auditorium. Just have four locations.
Yeah, maybe.
So you still have the same amount.
But then, what stage do people present on at the same time? Oh, they didn't really. Actually, did they?
No, they didn't start. And that was it. So I'm saying you could have got away with having four locations, which would have been insane.
It's probably a space thing for that, though.
Well, yeah, but think.
I get what you're saying.
What they're saying is the way Sean Layden comes up and goes, "Hey, we're going on a journey."
Mm.
That would be a journey. Mm. Four different, because like granted, they showed a somewhat of a disrespect to those watching.
Maybe.
In a way. So that those that were there got a really cool experience, but fuck everyone else. In the same sense. Because like we're sitting here going.
No, see, I'll look at it as.
But once they got to that auditorium. Mm. And it was just clear. It's exactly what it should have been.
Yeah, I respect them for trying something different.
I think they should have gone all out.
I think they've obviously would have been taken reading the feedback, taken a whole lot of feedback for this presentation and notes and all that. What can we do differently next year? And I think we'll get probably a similar thing next year, but hopefully a bit more focused and a bit flowing a little bit better, because it did feel very disjointed. But in terms of what was actually shown, take away the intermission part, what was actually shown was really good.
Yeah, and like this is the thing, because we are at the end of all the big games that they've announced for PlayStation 4. So the last 3 years, maybe even 4 years, they've been showcasing what's to come. And they've hit that point.
Mm.
They've showed everything. I think they have literally showed us everything that'll come to PS4.
First-party stuff.
Yeah.
We know what every studio is doing.
We are not... every studio that hasn't already released a game... Sorry, that has released a game will... Or everything with PS5.
Yeah.
Period. Like,
we're not Guerrilla Games are working for PS5.
Yeah, we are not going to see... So we've seen the next 2 years.
I wouldn't be surprised if The Last of Us 2 was being developed for PS5. Mm. But he's going to be... You know, brought down to, you know, downscaled for PS4, but it'll be ready to go on PS5 the day that comes out.
So the point I'm making is then the reason they haven't announced anything big or anything huge is for that reason, because they know the next gen's coming, and they know it's right around the corner.
Mm.
So like, let's give you everything that we have as is.
That makes me feel good for Cyberpunk, because just going back and forth, CDPR said they are targeting current gen consoles.
Mm.
So if next gen is really pretty close, that means Cyberpunk is pretty close as well, because they want to get it on current gen.
Mm.
Heard it here first.
I do think, it is right around the corner. Yeah.
2020.
And
get the reveals next year.
Yeah,
but the conference overall, like, I haven't rewatched it, but I haven't rewatched it as a whole. But I've gone back and watched segments, and I rewatched the Ghost of Tsushima segment. I was like, by myself watching this, I'm like, this looks really, really good. And because I didn't have that sour taste in my mouth of that big intermission and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm like, this looks great.
The big stream cancel at the start.
Yeah, we were a bit down because the streaming fucked up, and then there was that weird intermission, and we kind of went into it with a negative mindset. But stepping back and looking at it again, it was a good presentation.
Yeah,
the presentation geared towards, this is why you have to buy a PS4. This is why you have to buy PlayStation, not here's all the third-party stuff like Microsoft have done, which... benefited them in their own way, but this is why you have to get a PlayStation, and that message was delivered pretty well.
Yeah, and that's spot on, because that's as I sort of said on Twitter, and as we said in the last episode as well, is Microsoft gave me no reason to buy an Xbox.
Mm.
If I didn't already have one
yet,
you know, yet. Oh, yeah. In terms of their there is no reason to buy an X.
Yeah.
Period.
Great presentation from Microsoft, yes. But. Like we said after the presentation, is that 90% of what we just saw, I can play on the PlayStation. Hey, that's a crying baby.
My little man's having a real tough time. Bring one to come in the room.
Do you want to take a 5? Because I need to piss.
All right.
And then do you want to...
All right, we'll tend to my child.
Take 5. I'll cut it.
All right.
I'm back in 5. But it'll be instantly for those that are watching. And we're back from that brief intermission. But to anyone watching or listening, that would have been instantaneous because I have fantastic editing skills.
So yeah,
just for fun, I'm going to leave that gap in there. Yeah. I have good editing skills. We sat there for 10 minutes of nothing.
And hear me like, talking to my boy about dogs.
So there are concerns that Cyberpunk 2077...
So of course, everyone say hi to James.
That's James. Yeah, Cyberpunk 2077 may have troubles getting classified in Australia because of our guidelines on the R rating.
Mm-hmm.
I found a good article on Kotaku Australia. Are kind of outlining it. Right, I'll read through that. People have been waiting keenly for Cyberpunk 2077 ever since it was first announced, but judging by the Australians who have gotten their hands on time with the new CDPR RPG at E3, there's genuine concern that it might not get past the classification board. Whenever a game is refused classification in this country, it's usually due to two things. The first is around the depiction of sexual content, typically involving sexual violence or the depiction of minors in sexual scenes, acts, and so forth. The other and more common reason for a ban, drugs. Quote, computer games will be refused classification if they include or contain drug use related to incentives and rewards. The classification board's report on For We Happy Few said. It's clause that has seen changes to Fallout, State of Decay and numerous other games, and it's because of that many Aussies in town for E3 are worried. There's a few tweets here from people that have actually played it in the biz. From Julian Rizzo-Smith. Also, this game is totally not going to get past the classification board. Substance abuse, extreme nudity, violence, and I think gambling themes. And in terms of the drug use, David Milner says, to clarify, you have an inhaler that restores health and seems to give you some buffs. At a certain point, a guy that upgrades your tech gives you, and he says, take 2 puffs. It's plausible that more context will mean something else, but I think the implication is there. From the Alpha Respector. Let me tell you, drugs are big in the source material. Here's just a few from Cyberpunk 2020 rulebook. Synth Coke, the second generation synthetic replacement for cocaine, and Speed Heal, designed to enhance the natural healing process. Because Cyberpunk is based on a
board game,
a board game and all that. A detail confirmed by IGN is that the player uses an inhaler to heal, which historically has been a giant red flag for the classification board. The censors have always been very quick to ban anything that treats drug use as a reward, whether those drugs are over-the-counter medicines or via prescription. It goes into a little bit more stuff there. It's pretty legit concerns, I think. Now, State of Decay fell afoul of censors because it would be very difficult to complete the game without some form of medication, and it seems Cyberpunk 2077 will run into the same issue unless there is an alternative healing mechanism.
I think what would be the best is just to rename it, like they did with Fallout 3. Like, this drug's not... This is not called Speed. It's this Jet. Is called Jet.
Yeah. Jet. What else was there? I'm having a fucking mind. There's Psycho.
Like MedX.
Psycho, Medex.
Yeah, Psycho, yeah.
Yeah. That seems like the easiest out, which is, I think, pretty doable.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the nudity and whatnot...
So when you say nudity, what are we looking at?
Been confirmed vaginas.
Vajays?
Possible penis.
Oh, and weenies.
Which I'm all for seeing both of those at any time.
Yeah. No, I'm in true equality. If we're going to see some vajays, I want to see some weenies. Yeah.
And maybe going in and out of each other. You know, who am I to judge? But Angry Joe... Angry Joe had an interview with the CDPR devs on the game just after E3. And there was a point he's talking about when you meet a certain female character who is in a very, very precarious sexual situation. Mm-hmm. And he said it kind of like blew his mind. It's like, holy shit, like that's fucking crazy. But it wasn't there for no reason either. You know, the context is there for that particular scene. I'm guessing... You save a girl from possible sexual violence or something like that.
Which could be a problem.
Thanks, bud. Which could be a problem, but in the context, it makes sense. But typically, the classification board doesn't care about context. It's just, is it there? Yep. Not having it. Mm. thanks, bud. So, yeah, I am concerned. Thankfully, the PS4 is region-free. Mm-hmm. So, I'll just fucking buy it if I have to.
I'll just use the US PSN download.
It would quite possibly be the biggest game to be denied classification to this point. Mm. Fallout's pretty big, State of Decay's pretty big, but I don't think any are quite on this level. And it would be huge if it.
See, if I remember right, Fallout 3 wasn't refused. They pretty much went, change this and you'll be in.
Yeah.
So they won't be like, meow, meow.
But at that point it was refused. It's like, yeah. Well, we're refusing you unless you change it.
Yeah, but they made it very clear. It wasn't like... You're banned. Yeah. It was just
doggy. Banned, yeah. Doggy.
Yeah, and doggy.
Shouting doggy. Doggy. There was a doggy in Fallout. Good job.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the drugs can be changed, but in terms of the what I'm going to assume is sexual violence, that's, you know, you can remove that section from the game, but then you lose a lot of what could possibly be there for context and storytelling.
But I think going there and preventing it, you're not taking part in it.
Don't put that in your mouth, mate. Is he okay? Oh, it's gone now anyway.
I think the difference is going in there and saving someone from it is different than... because like
it depends what you see as well, I suppose.
You're going to get it? There you go, bud. Have fun. Sorry, my son's having a
bad day.
He's one of those days where he just wants daddy and nothing but daddy, so...
But yeah, I mean, there is no, like I said, I don't think we really have any comparisons for sexual violence at this point.
Oh no.
So it is very worrying.
Oh no, indeed,
James. It's very worrying to me because I'm super excited for it. But like I said, if I have to buy it from America and get it shipped over, I'll buy it from America. And get it shipped
capitalism, over. Friend. Go back to what I said before. Capitalism.
But it would be very disappointing. But
it would, like,
a company as big as CDPR must not, like, they obviously know the guidelines for different companies at this point. I think The Witcher 3 pushed it a little bit, maybe, because it did have
boobies. Yeah, boobies are meaning games before. I think boobies is a problem.
No penetration. Yeah. Yeah, there was the odd vagina in Watch Dogs 2 before they patched that out.
It was an unintentional vagina. Yeah. It was a bit different.
As if it was unintentional. Like, it was there.
Yeah, it was very much
You don't
there.
Just forget to put panties on an NPC. But yeah, I want to know... From all you Aussies out there, are you concerned? What can be done with the game so far to make sure it gets
in? See, my concerns come from a different place, and it's very difficult to have a train of thought when you've got a child being annoying on you. my train of thought comes from a different place. It's more of, this is happening more and more. Not the refused classification, but like games are heading into these categories, into these genres, all these topics, right? So yeah. My concern is if this is where games are growing, as games are getting more adult and getting more into these, what would consider, you know, taboo game topics, we're going to see this more and more.
Mm. But then you look at, I know they're different mediums, but you look at Game of Thrones, which was given an MA, and there was some real, like, you know, graphic rape, graphic sexual violence.
See, this is that weird right now between TV and games, right?
So my games are interactive.
Yeah, my wife is currently watching 13 Reasons Why, which is that Netflix series.
Why is she watching it?
I don't know, she enjoys it. Someone gets, like, sodomized by a broom handle, and it's on screen.
And it's on Netflix, you know what I mean? For anyone,
like,
to watch.
That, like, I'm not saying that shouldn't exist. I'm just saying that is, you're not going to see that in a video game.
And it's not rated R, is it?
It's not rated R. I don't believe so, but probably
I don't think it's pretty sure it's MA.
But you know, the point I'm making, like, it's like, it's just that we're stuck in, there is that minor archaic look at games, is what it is. And on top of
if
that,
if it's interactive, it means you're doing it. And you agree with it,
you know. And the way games are being told and sold right now, with Fortnite and Channel 9 News being a dick, you know.
Bye,
buddy. Thank you for coming.
See ya. That today stuff is fucking hilarious.
It's.
I love they put up that Facebook post like, parents, are you worried about your child playing Fortnite and addiction? Just all these gamers just the most ridiculous shit. It's fucking hilarious.
And he's back.
G'day.
But yeah, so that's my concern, because I said with the games growing in terms of their storytelling, in terms of what they want to do and what they want to say, this is a problem.
And it is the whole thing of, you know, the gaming industry has grown up with us. Yes. The developers that were making Spyro and Crash and Croc and all that back in the day are now adults, and they want to tell adult stories because that's, you know, the medium.
But I do understand why some of these guidelines are in place. An example with the sexual violence one, because if that does, you know, if that's A-OK'd, then that opens a random horrible subset of games.
No, but
which can still be refused.
Yeah, exactly. So you can A-OK it, but have guidelines around how you can portray it. And, you know, the reason it's there, you know,
but at the same
context
point,
is that big key
yes,
word.
Yes, but
yeah?
Context is variable. Context is subjective. Mm. Where the guidelines need to be objective, very clearly. Like, that's what they're there for. Because if they're up to interpretation, then there's what the point of having them?
I get that too, but then they're a very different, like, it's a very big spectrum. And if you go, nah, then you lose everything from this end because you want to stop everything.
That's the tar with the same brush, and that's always going to be the case.
I know, and it sucks.
It does totally suck.
Totally
sucks real hard. But
because we've had the classification discussion before.
Yes.
A few times now.
This is
coming
up a lot recently.
We happy few we talked about recently.
He's right.
Nothing breakable. Yeah, it's just we seem to be in that period of not make or break, but this is where the harder decisions have to be made.
Yeah, and I think it is one of those... we've had the R18 rating for a while now. Games have drastically changed in that time, you know. Oh, he does bum, by the way. He likes a good fist.
Yeah, good boy.
Yay! I mean, like the games rating system. So, and the games rating system has changed. Like, it has changed into what we now know it as, which is incredibly important to see that level of growth. But games are growing way more rapidly than movies. Movie ratings have, like, I'm sure there was a room to change and adapt. And hey, Millie, can you please come grab James? He's making it very difficult to hold a conversation.
Oh no, he sees a look on his face. He's like, "What did you just say?"
We're trying to record a conversation here, buddy. You're making it very difficult.
Pretty sure we're almost finished.
We are almost finished, but I'm trying to have a coherent thought here, and it's not really happening.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
So you now have lost my train of thought again.
Movies have had the same
guidelines
for a long time.
Yes, so I imagine when the movie guidelines were being established, there would have been some grey area. There would have been some discussion points, you know what I mean? Like, because they would have changed. Like, what, you know... I'm just trying to think of, like, as an example. Like, You think about the US, right? Where their PG-13 rating came in as a result of the situation around them.
Mm.
And I think we may have to do that. We may have to evolve what an R... I'm not saying we need to bring in a new classification, but we need to tweak those guidelines a little bit. Have a look at them. Change them. Take into account where games are growing. We're growing too.
There's also nothing to say why can't we add another classification as well.
Yeah.
I mean... It's progression, yeah? You know, you get in a situation, you adapt to it, you get into another situation a couple of decades later, and you adapt to it, and whether that means reviewing the guidelines, creating a new subsect, you know, a new rating, you know, it's R+, you know?
Or even an X, which is like an adults, as in like unquestionably adult. But even then, that brings in the line
that of brings like in the rape simulators from Japan.
Yeah,
which we can't have either.
Yeah.
I'd hate to work on the classification board.
Yeah.
It would be the biggest mindfuck.
And once again, this is falling into that entitlement issue. You know, I mean, like, we should be able to get every game that we want. Like, you're gonna
I don't agree with every game because there are real pieces of shit video games.
Hell yeah, there are.
But there are also things that can tell a compelling story and have the reasons behind it that, you know, don't fit someone's perception of what is allowed.
Yeah.
And it's all like... On one hand, it's I decide what I want to look at. I'm a grown-ass man. And on the other side, it's like, yeah, but then that lets in a whole bunch of other shit that is not okay. Yeah. So,
And like that's people love the idea of like, you know, like, well, let's just have a big open society and everyone gets what they're like. No, that's how chaos ensues. Mm. That's how horrible shit happens. You know what I mean? It's ideally big floodgates. Like, look at what you're... It's better... than what Steam's doing right now. Yeah. Steam has no restriction. They went the other way. They went like, fuck it. As long as it's like not trolling or illegal.
There was a game on there the other day about spreading AIDS.
Yeah, AIDS simulator.
Yeah.
Then there was that high school shooting simulator game as well. Yeah. Like, that is the worst case scenario. I don't want to see that shit.
Granted, I don't want to see that on the PlayStation.
We have the choice to not play that game, but I do not want to see that shit on consoles. Like, what I love about consoles is they're free of that garbage.
But except Life of Black Tiger.
But the problem is, if we loosen the restraints a little bit, it allows much worse things to come in.
Mm. But you know, there's all kinds of guidelines and all that. I'm sure there is a solution. It just doesn't seem like it's being looked into at the moment.
It's a solution
that... We're still at the point where it's like, this is what it is. And they're not at the point where it's like, we need to look a little bit deeper and see what can be done.
See, what I think that... This is the thing. So, in right now, in the US, they have the ESRB, right, that rates their games. They are currently external to the government. They're industry. They're within the industry, right? So, for the... Oh, it's been kicked in the groin. Oh. Please take, child. Kick in the...
Lunchtime, kid.
Oh, groin.
Football in the groin. Football in the groin.
So the benefit of the ESRB is that they are...
Independent from the
independent.
Government.
Yeah. So nothing, and that's the difference we have here. The Australian Classification Board is a government function. Therefore, it has to be as objective as it is. Mm. Like with an inside thing, it can have that context. Because these people are in industry, they get it, they understand.
Mm.
Although I highly doubt that'll happen here, I think that may be a way to fix it.
Once the government has it, they're not going to let it go to someone else.
Exactly.
I don't believe there'd be any group of people, no matter how highly regarded they are, that could go to the Australian government and be like, we'll take this off your hands and we'll do it ourselves. And they'll be like, no, not a chance.
Yeah, but until that day, we're going to be stuck with that super objective. This is what it is, regardless. You know,
like I said, thankfully, PS4 is region free. You have a US account, you can buy it from Amazon America or whatever. It might take you a bit longer to get it.
You can't do that now.
What?
You can't buy international. You can't use international Amazon anymore.
Oh well.
Thanks to some that Netflix tax, whatever the fuck.
eBay then.
There is a way. We will get
There's
it.
There's plenty of ways to get this particular game, but you know other games obviously aren't as fortunate.
An example, like I enjoyed the Manhunt from Rockstar. You know, a game that is straight up refused classification here.
Mm.
I bought it on the US PSN. It's on my PS4. I can play it right now.
Mm.
And I will probably, and like I have been. It's horrible.
Can't
like,
stream it though.
Can't stream it. You know, same thing like Manhunt 2. They didn't even attempt to lodge it here.
Mm.
Bought it off eBay, $8.
Mm.
Now I've got it. I'm not going to play it. It's got for the collection. But like, that's the thing, you know, that is the, we're talking about archaic shit, you know, with like Fortnite and PlayStation, how they're behaving. This isn't that same boat. We have the open internet. You can't restrict anything to an extent.
No.
Like, you know, I think there are some restrictions, of course. Like, you can't buy those rape simulators, all that sort of stuff. Thank Christ.
You can still get them.
But then there's a lot of hoops you have to get through to get them.
Not really. Go to the Pirate Bay and get the ISO.
Yeah. I mean,
not that I've done it, but it's not that hard to get a video game. You know what I mean? It's not that hard to get a video game.
Yeah.
From a number of pirating sites. You just download it, put it on Daemon Tools or whatever, and there it is. Didn't cost you a cent. Horrible. Don't do that.
What do you think, though? What do you think of this predicament with Cyberpunk and potentially being refused classification? Like, it doesn't look good, and I think there would be a very interesting response if that was to happen.
It may be the game that encourages that big discussion. Like, if enough people speak out about it in a respective,
yes,
polite, reasonable way, it may be the game that triggers that big discussion about it. Like, you're not going to get much bigger than this at the moment.
Mm.
You know, like I said, Fallout's one thing, State of Decay is another thing, We Happy Few is another thing, but you know, this is a very big game from a very big studio, and if you are reasonable in your approach to this discussion, it may
that reasonable discussion got us an R18 rating as it is. Mm. So if we keep that conversation going, keep it well, create a petition, you know, have legitimate people in the industry step up and have a say, and I think we could make change again.
Let's do it together. Where the pop culture is. That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show the love of pop culturist on your body, head popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and pillowcases and phone cases and other random shit with our logos on it. And be sure to head over to twitch.tv/popculturist, where we will be streaming a ton of games more often than here. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.